And we're holding actually the last words of Lamed Ches on the days. We left off in the middle of a discussion like this. We said that we quoted our Mishnah had talked about three mitzvahs aplius ba'aretz that may or may not apply in Eretz Yisrael. We had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. They were Chadash, Orla, and Kelayim. So now we quoted a Mishnah from Masechta Orla that said that Chadash is also in Atorah everywhere. Again, whether that's the halacha is a whole other question in itself, but we won't get into that right now. Orla is, that's the thing, it's also according to the Tana of that Mishnah. Right there, where you're watching. So we said that Mishnah says that Chadash is also in Atorah everywhere. Again, that's one Stam Mishnah. We had our Mishnah had Adam Achloikas on it. So who the halacha is like is a discussion. Anyway, that Mishnah had also said Orla is also everywhere in the world as a halacha, and Kalayim is also a divrei sofkin. So we started discussing what do we mean by halacha. We had Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that it just meant hilchos in Medina, that people accepted it on themselves in Chutz La'aretz, and Rabbi Yochanan had said that it's halacha al Moshe Mishinai. So we started discussing. There's another Mishnah in Orla. Hilchos and Medina, it's such a thing. It comes up in Rav Matiyah in a different context as well. Okay. So now, we started with a discussion like this, that if we say that Orla is also as Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai and Kelayim is only also Midrabanan, then we can understand there's a Mishnah in Orla that tells us there's a difference. When you have Sofik, whether something is Orla, then in Chutz La'aretz, you're actually allowed to go and buy from such an orchard or whatever, as long as you don't actually see the goy picking, even though you have an orchard which has some trees in it or orla, some are not, as long as you don't see the guy picking actual fruit from the actual orla tree, then you're allowed to. Whereas by Kalayim, we're saying that you're even allowed to go in there if you have a vineyard, let's say, that's planted that there are vegetables planted in it, which would be Kalaya Kerem, you yourself are allowed to go in there and pick some grapes to buy to eat, as long as you don't the goy is allowed to actually go and pick from it and sell to you. You yourself just can't pick by hand. So it's still a kula though. The previous case is you have to see that he's not picking from one of the trees that's Orla. Here it doesn't matter what grapevine he's picking from. You yourself just can't pick from it.
Why does it matter?
Well, that's what we're saying. So if we say that Orla is also as Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, whereas Kelayim is only also Medivra Sofrim, fine, then we're more lenient with Kelayim. That's where we're holding. So that's all I was asking Rabbi Hoda. According to your Shitta, in the name of Shmuel, that Orla is also in Chutz La'aretz as Hilchus Medina, as only a voluntary thing that they accepted on themselves, meaning it's even less than Dirabonim. At most, this the Ozeva Zayur Vilakeach, Ozeva Zayur Beloikit. Then why is there the difference? Why are you saying that when it comes to Orla, you're allowed to go and buy as long as you don't see the goy picking from the actual Orla tree? Whereas by Kalaya Kerem, we're saying that you yourself are allowed to pick it. That's the difference. With Orla, we're saying you can buy it, but you yourself can't pick it. With Kalaya Kerem, we're saying you yourself can pick. Not you yourself can pick. Rashi says the goy can pick. The difference is when it comes to Orla, we're saying the goy picked it ahead of time. You didn't see him actually picking it. Whereas here you can actually see him picking it. Right here you can actually see him picking it. Just you yourself can and still be allowed. So oizev is a yerd v'lekeach. Oizev is a yerd v'lekeach. It should be consistent. That's what we're saying. So that's Orla is asking Rabbi Huda. Why is it inconsistent by Orla and Kalayim? If both of them are Dirabanan, and actually one is even less than Dirabanan because it's only Hilchos Medina, then why is it inconsistent? Why are we being more machmir in that Mishnah with Sofik Orla in Chutz La'aretz than we are with Sofik Kalayah Kerem? And he answered, Ha'amal is Shmuel Dirabanan. Yes, as a matter of fact, the answer is that Shmuel, my Rebbe, who is Rabbi Huda, is quoting this in Shmuel's name, actually said Dirabanan. Tani, Oiv Zev Zeyur Velakech, Oiv Zev Zeyur Velakech. As a matter of fact, yes. You do have to change the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah, as we have it, is not quite accurate. It's supposed to be either Yerd V'Lekeach in both of them, that you can go and buy, but you can't watch the goy picking it, or both of them, Yerd V'Lekeach, that you can watch the goy picking it, but you yourself can't pick it. Yes, it will be.
Both have to be the same.
It has to be the same. That's what Shmuel is saying to Rav Onan. It does have to be consistent across both of them. We're not going to have that inconsistency. And in fact, Ma Bereid Rabbana, Machne Rabbana, Ma the son of Rabbana, taught that the, had a version of the Mishnah that went l'kula, that both of them, zeh v'zeh, yer v'loik it, that in both cases, the goy can actually pick it, or eventually you could be yad, as long as you, the chaver yourself, don't go pick it with your own hands from the suffix orlo, the suffix alaitan. Since we said that suffix, we're talking over here about suffix orlo, and we're saying that in chutzar it's mutter, as long as you yourself don't pick it. So Amalei Levi l'Shmuel. So Levi said, we find that Levi said to Shmuel, Aryech is the name of a king, Aryech Melech Alasser, from the four kings who fought against Zayim. It's also in later on in Sefer Daniel, it's the name of Nebuchadnezzar's chief executioner. It was a nickname for Shmuel. In various places throughout Shas, Rashi and Tosfos and other Mepharshim, others have various explanations why. Among them is Aryech is Meloshon Ari, a lion. So he's comparing Shmuel to a lion, who's a powerful in Torah. It's also, we're saying, the name of a powerful king from then, Aryech Melech Alasser. So there's another reason to call Shmuel that. Same principle. No, not because of the executioner. I haven't seen anybody reference that. I was just mentioning, for completeness of sake, that there's two people in Tanakh. Named Aryech. That's either Meloshon Ari, or it's Meloshon a powerful king. There's also another interesting explanation that the Seder Adoris brings in one of his Sfarim, Erkei Akinuyim. He says it was Aryech Melech El Osir. El Osir can be understood as if it was two words. Al Osir, not in Isurim. Namely, because Shmuel is like a king, and that halacha is like him, but only in Dinei Mamonos, not in Dinei Isurim. And Isur Behetel, halacha is like that. So he's Aryech, he's the king of Al Osir, of not Isurim. Anyway, so Aryech was a nickname for him. So anyway, so Levi says to Shmuel, Aryech, sapikli van no echel, make a sapik for me, meaning Rashi says, pick some fruit that from a vineyard, whatever, an orchard that has some orla and some non orla trees in it. For me, it'll be a suffix because I won't see you picking it. And I'll be able to eat it because that's what we're saying. Suffix orla is fine as long as you yourself don't pick it. And okay, so actually there are Mepharshim who say that this only works according to Shmuel, that's saying that's Hilchos Medina. It may not work if we say according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, that may not work. Because Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai is more stringent. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that even though normally we're Machmer in a suffix of Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, maybe this case is an exception because maybe the original Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai itself was that only Vaday is also in Chutz La'aretz and suffix is Mutter. It was included, or it was all included in Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, maybe. So, Sapikli V'Ano Eichel. A choice of Sri Zokin has a different explanation. He says, Sapikli means give me. Sapik, like supply me. Anyway, V'Ano Eichel and Ali. Rav Ivya V'Rav Chanan Ba'avah M'Sapku Tzepoku L'Hadodi. Similarly, Rav Ivya and Rav Chanan would make a Sapik for each other. Each one would go and pick fruit from such an orchard for the other, not tell the other whether it came from a tree that is or isn't Arla, and they'd be able to eat it. So that's what we're saying, Sveika is awesome.
There's more than one tree. Which one is Arla and which one is Arla?
You're supposed to be able to tell. I mean, if you're able to keep track, then you have to keep track.
3 years old, 4 years old, it looks the same.
Okay, but you have to keep track. If you're the owner of the orchard, you'll know. You'll be able to...
Well,
if somebody else's orchard, what are you doing picking fruit there anyway?
You could pick an etrog and know which etrog is Moshe Sinai and which is not. If they used to pick 2,000 years ago, then you can do the same thing.
In Calabria, all of them have a chesed kashrus. They don't need that. They're not like one etrog on a tree is good and another one is
not.
In Calabria, okay, I don't know. Okay, anyway. Okay, fine, but that's the... Fine, but the people over there who know, the people who harvest them over there know what they're looking for. Okay, anyway. Okay. Amri Harifi de Pumbedissa. Now we have another opinion that the sharp people of Pumbedissa, which Rashi brings from Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they are Epha, their names were Epha and Avimi, the sons of Rachva from Pumbedissa. They said, Ein Orla. Rashi brings it from a Gemara and Sanhedrin. the Gemara over there at the end of the first paragraph of Sanhedrin that identifies all of the expressions that you have throughout Shas. You have Charifa Dipu Medisa, you have the expression Machakwa Leib Marova, they laughed at this statement in Eretz Yisrael. You have Sovei Dipu Medisa, this, that, the other. There's a Gemara over there, there's a few lines of Gemara over there that identify what all those references are. Okay, so anyway, so these Charifa Dipu Medisa said, Ein Orla B'chutz La'aretz, there is no such thing as Orla outside Eretz Yisrael. Shochor Rabbi Yehuda lechamed Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yehuda sent a message to Rabbi Yechanan. This is what Charifa de Pumbedisa are saying. What do you have to say? Shalachle. So Rabbi Yechanan did not like it. He sent back. No. Stoim Sveka. Even the fact that Sofik, or if that's how they're going to be saying in Chutzlaret, he says, Stoim, hide the halacha that Sofik Orla is mutter in Chutzlaret, because if they're being so makel in it, then don't allow anybody to darshan in public anymore that Sofik Orla is mutter in Chutzlaret, because these Charifa de Pumbedisa are going so far as to say that even Vada is mutter. The Abed Vada, and if there's any fruit, if there's any fruit that is Vada Orla,
so
don't allow. What?
They were wrong.
Not, well, that's Rabbi Yechanan saying they're wrong. Rabbi Yechanan is saying that Charifa de Pumbedisa are wrong, yes.
Disagree.
Yes. But Aved Vada, and if they have any Paris that are Vadai Arla, destroy them. Not like we said before that Levi was telling Shmuel, Safik Levano Echol, etc. If they're going to be Makel so far, don't allow them to hold on to them and then maybe somebody else can create a Safik with them. No, destroy them.
But that's not true.
That's Rabbi Yechanan saying that.
Right, but he's saying that not because...
He's saying that because he's saying that there's going to be Makel. Because if they're going to be Makel,
it's not true.
Because if they're going to be Makel like that, we've got to strengthen the din. And the Hachar is our Perisean Shetunim Beniza. Further, Rabbi Yechanan says, announce that the fruit of such people who are Makel has to be hidden away, has to be buried. And Rabbi Yechanan says, ein orla b'chutz la'aretz. Anybody who says that orla does not exist in chutz la'aretz, with a very strong expression, lo nin v'nechad mashlech chevo b'gur v'kal Hashem, should not have a grandson or a descendant who will be able to join in the lottery, yes. in the kahal of Hashem, like the lottery, so to speak, to inherit property in Eretz. It is. And the Sefer HaMakne from the Baal HaFlah says, why is Rabbi Yechanan using such a terrible curse on them? He says, Api Kabbalah, what's the idea behind Orla? Is the idea, the first 3 years, that I've ever mentioned in Tanya from Kisvei HaRizal, the first 3 years, the fruits are from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis, therefore there's no using them for positive things, they have to be destroyed, only after that are they Klipos Nega. What happens if you say there's no Orla in Chutz La'aretz? It amounts to the same, there's less Klipa in Chutz La'aretz than there is in Eretz Yisrael. That's a bizarre Eretz Yisrael. It's like the Chetam Menaglim who said that Eretz Yisrael, that we're better off in the desert than we were in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, fine. Menaglim didn't wind up getting a place in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, if you're going to talk like that, if you're going to say basically that there's more Klipa in Eretz Yisrael than the Chutz La'aretz, then yeah, you don't deserve there. The Inu commands of a rock.
The people in the Midbar didn't get that.
That's the point. The same way as the people in the Midbar and the Meraglim and the rest of the people in the Midbar who all said, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't wind up getting a portion in it. That's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Somebody who doesn't say somebody who says there's no Orla in Chutz La'aretz, but on the other hand, there is in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The Inu command Sabarua, Nu, okay.
Rabbi Yechanan with
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What are you saying, Ben? Yeah, but not to go so far as to say that Sofik may be fine, but not to go so far as to say there's no Orla and Chutz La'aretz at all. Okay, so Inu commands Varua, Nu, where did Charifa de Pumbedisa get their opinion from? Then to Kihod Tanya, they got as it says in a Braise, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi, Amim Shem Rabbi Yosi, Men Pramaska, Shomer Shem Rabbi Yosi, Aglili Shomer Shem Rabbi Yosi, Menuri Shomer Shem Rabbi Lezer, Agadol. You have quite a chain of tradition over there. Yeah, Ein Orla b'Chutz La'aretz. That they're saying that there's no Orla in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so they got it from that. Okay,
all these people shouldn't.
Rabbi Yechanan is not going to be cursing generations before him. But okay, maybe he didn't know where they got their Sparta from. Okay, and the law. What do you mean? What do you mean? No. What do you mean? Rabbi Eliezer said. What do you mean? Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, which is the same as the regular Rabbi Eliezer. What do you mean? He said there's no Orla in Chutz La'aretz. V'hanantnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer as hachadash. We said in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama had said that Orla and Kalayim apply outside Eretz Yisrael as well, even though the mitzvahs are Floris Baritz, they're exceptions to the rules. Rabbi Eliezer had said as hachadash, that also chadash, and we discussed when we started discussing in the Gemara after the Mishnah 2 days ago, we discussed as Rabbi Eliezer saying that those two, of course, and Chodesh also, or is he disagreeing, as he say, as he maybe mean Maple on Chodesh? Either way, he seems to agree on Orla and Talia Keren. Okay, the answer is Tony, Chodesh. No, we have to actually change the words of the Mishnah. We have to take out the word af and say maybe another possibility. Rabbi Eliezer is not saying I agree that Orla and Talia Keren apply outside Eretz Yisrael. I'm saying only Chodesh, out of the mitzvah of Floris Baruch, all of them apply only in Eretz Yisrael, including Orla and Talia. The only exception is Chodesh. And therefore, if we go with that, then we have a basis for saying that Rabbi Eliezer says that Orla is mutter in Chutz Laaretz. Evidently, so he's saying that Chodesh is Osir, is Osir in Chutz Laaretz. Yeah, but Kalayim and Orla are not. Yeah.
Kalayim will agree.
Well, we're talking about Orla over here, but yeah. Tosis points out, I mean, also since we said before Kalayim, we said before that the Mishtam Mishnah in Orla, in Masechta Orla, said that Kalayim is only also Midrabanon in Chutz Laaretz, and Orla we said is Halacha, which might, according to Rabbi Yechon, means Halacha Mishnah Mishinai. Logically, if Rabbi Eliezer disagrees on Orla, he's also going to disagree on Kalayim. Anyway, evidently Rabbi Yechon didn't like that you should have to change the Mishnah and take out the word af, so therefore, yeah. Going back to what we said before, Orla and Chutz La'aretz is Osir as Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Omalei Reb Zeira L'Reb Asi, or Hagar changes it to just Omalei Reb Asi. V'atanya Sofak Orla Be'eretz Yisrael also the Surya Mutzah B'Chutz La'aretz Yerid V'Loiket. What are you going to do with that Mishnah from Orla that we quoted before that said that Sofak Orla is also in Eretz Yisrael, it's Mutzah in Surya, and in Chutz La'aretz you can even go and actually have you can have the Goy pick from the thing, or Yerid V'Loiket we had before, that you can go and buy from the Goy after he picked. If Orla is also in Chutz La'aretz has Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, how would you make on a Sofak of it? So Rav Yochanan, or Rav Asi, was stunned for a while. He was quiet for a while, not really stunned. Eshtoimam literally means stunned, but he was quiet for a while thinking of what to answer. It's an expression of a pasuk, because Gemara uses it in a half a dozen places in Shas. Meloshin Shomim, like he's desolate, like he can't think of an answer for a little while. And finally, Amalei, then he says, Ema, Kach Nemar. You have to say that that's how the original Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai was said. Sveika Mutter Vada also. That only a Vada is also in Chutz La'aretz. Sofak of it is Mutter, which would be an exception to the usual rule that you usually would be Machmer in a Sofak of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But here we make a Rabbi Yechanan or a Rabbi, depending on the Gizah.
You just said that it
may not
occur to
one of the citizens. No. That's the saying if you say there's no Orla at all. Okay. Now we're saying, but what about Sofak Orla? That's different. Next. You get okay, so now we're done with Orla for the time being. Now we're gonna start talking about Kalayim. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's a lot of different kinds of Kalayim. There's Kalai, which we're gonna be discussing many of them during our survey over here. There's Kalai of Kerem, involving vineyards and then grain or vegetables. There's Kalai Zroyim, when you plant two different kinds of seeds together. There's Kalai Elon, when you graft a branch from one tree onto another. There's Kalai Behemo, when you crossbreed two animals. And there's Kalai Begodim, when you, there's also Kalai related to Kalai Behemo as having two different animals pull a plow or a wagon or what have you. And then Kalai Begodim, which is Shatnez. So.
So Islam is your right, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the Rambam holds that it's only if it's one kosher and one non-kosher animal, because the pasuk is Shur V'Chamur. If it was two kosher animals or two non-kosher ones, it would be also only the Rabbanan, but anyway, yeah. You get Malkus for Kalayim, Rashi has the word B'chutz La'aretz, Dvar Torah, Minat Torah. Amalei Rav Elazar Rav Yosi. What do you mean you get Malkus? Anantinana Kalayim Medivet Sefer. The Mishnah from Orla said that Kalayim is only Osir outside of Yisrael Medrabanan. There's no Malkus for, there's Malkus Maudit maybe, but Loikin Dvar Torah means that it would be 39 Malkus, Minat Torah. How do you do that for a Medrabanan? The answer is like Kasha, can be Kalaya Kerem, can be Hakovas Ilan. The difference is that there's a difference between there's Kalaya Kerem, planting, well, both of them are Daraisa in Eretz Yisrael, but wait. There's Kalaya Kerem, which is planting, we're planting various species, grain or vegetables or whatever, in a vineyard or near it or whatever. And then there's Hakovas Ilan, which is grafting a branch onto a tree. One second.
So we have a rule not to use pickles and cucumbers on pizza.
I don't know. What does that have to do with anything?
The fields of wheat used to be next to the fields of cucumbers.
Okay.
Afraid that things, the wind might have.
Okay.
Together. Oh, it's a whole long story.
I've never heard of that. Interesting. Okay.
Remind me of the story.
Okay. So now, Kalaya Kerem, in a way, is more chomer, because as the Gemara is going to say soon, Kalaya Kerem is actually also Banah in Eretz Yisrael. However, for this purpose, we're saying that Kalaya Kerem is only Drabanan in Chutz La'aretz. However, Hakavas Ilan, grafting to a branch onto another tree, that will be also Daraisa outside Eretz Yisrael, even outside Eretz Yisrael, and you would get Malkus for it. So when we say... So when the Mishnah said Kalayim is Drabanan, that means Kalaya Kerem. When we say, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying, when Rabbi Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you get Malkus for Kalayim, Tvar Torah, meaning in Chutz La'aretz, that is talking about Hakavas Ilan, that's talking about grafting a branch onto a tree. And that is Kiddush Shmuel. The reason why Hakavas Ilan is more stringent is because of what Shmuel says. The Amos Shmuel, the Pasuk says, as Chukoy Tetishmoru, the Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, you should keep my Chukim. Now Rashi explains, if it said of Shmartem as Chukoisai, then it would mean the following are going to be the Chukim that I'm going to give you. From now on, you should know to start keeping them. As Chukoisai Tishmoru implies that Chukoisai already exist. And you already had Muzer on them from before. And now you have to make sure to keep on fulfilling them. Namely, what are they? Chukim Shechukakta V'chukbar. These are Chukim that I already established for you. Namely, behemta choloi sabia kalaim sod choloi tizra kalaim. That you're not allowed to crossbreed two animals, and you're not allowed to plant your field as kalaim. Now, what does that mean? What do we mean by sod choloi tizra? Again, there's many different things that are included in kalaim. What do we mean by sod choloi tizra? It means ma behemta chol b'habo. Just like when it comes to animals, what does it mean kalaim of animals? It means to actually crossbreed them. And now, so you have one parent animal, the other, and now you have a hybrid. Therefore, afsadcha b'hakava. Therefore, sadcha has to be something where you're creating a hybrid. Now, planting, for example, you plant a wheat and a grain of wheat and a grain of barley together. You're not going to have a hybrid. You're going to have a stalk of no. You're not. You're going to have a stalk of wheat and you're going to have a stalk of barley. You're not going to have a hybrid.
Why not? Because it was done already.
That's not how they do it. They do it by pollination or whatever. They don't. It's not just by planting two seeds together.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because it doesn't work that way. Each seed grows into its own plant. Mashenkin, when you take a branch from one tree and graft it onto another, now you have a fruit that has characteristics of both trees.
That's where grapefruit came from.
That's where grapefruit, that's where a Shrug and Mokavim that you were just talking about a few minutes ago.
When you plant two stems, one next to the other?
Two seeds. I mean, eventually they grow into respective stems.
Right.
They might end up cross-pollinating, but they could also cross-pollinate if they're in adjacent fields or whatever, and that wouldn't be fine.
What is exactly then kilayim?
So that's what I'm saying. One form of kilayim is where you just take a mixture of seeds, for example, wheat and barley seeds, and plant them together. That is also, that's called kilayim.
You mix them together in water or something?
No, like you plant them together.
If all grow together, why is that also?
Because the Torah asks you to plant two different species close together.
Even if they won't grow together.
Even if they won't actually create a new species, but just the fact that you're planting a field of mixed types is also.
That's what
it is. Yes. But that's Kalai's right. But we're saying over here, when the Pasuk is putting together, it has to be two things. It has to be among them, all the various types of Kalayim, it has to be two similar kinds. Just like Behemdecha, by definition, is going to be you creating a hybrid. Sod Cholos Yisra Kalayim has to be something where you're creating a hybrid. Planting wheat and barley together, for example, doesn't in and of itself create a hybrid. They might cross-pollinate, but they could also cross-pollinate if they're in separate fields, pollen blows. It's also to do, but it's not what the Pasuk is mentioning over here. When we say chukim shechachak v'chakvar, that the Eibishter already made laws which exist before. Now, what do they mean, laws that exist beforehand? Rashi says that b'nei noyach are also in these things as well. B'nei noyach are also to crossbreed animals, and b'nei noyach are also to graft trees. That is actually a machlokas in the Sefer Sanhedrin. When in Sanhedrin, when it talks about the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, there's several different opinions of Tanoim over there, whether there's more things beyond the famous Sheva Mitzvahs that we're all familiar with. Whether, in fact, Kalai Behema and then Kalai Elon are also. Rashi is wrong according to the opinion over here that they are. The Ramban has a different explanation. The Ramban says Chukim Shachak L'Chakvar means the Eidrishti created a certain natural order. There's a certain species. There's species that the Eidrishti created in Sheshit Meberishit. You have no right to create new ones. So you have no right to create Chukim Shachak, the laws of nature that say that there is, for example, there's horses and there's donkeys. You can't override that by creating rules.
L'cha doesn't mean to the
base, right? No, that's what we're saying. L'cha, yeah, no, it means that I already made for you before there was ever, before the Torah was ever given. So therefore, ma behemtecha ba'abav asodcha ba'akava. So it has to mean that sodcha does not mean planting different seeds together. It means grafting a branch onto another tree, because that's how you're creating a hybrid. And therefore, ma behemtecha noeg ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz la'aretz. So just like kalai behema applies whether in or out of Eretz Yisrael, because l'chayv v'taguf, there's no reason to apply it only in Eretz Yisrael. The same thing grafting branches onto trees. So therefore, that's why we're machmer on that, and we say that's what the pasuk means, that it's also everywhere in the world, because it's similar to Kalai Behema. So that's why we're going to say you're going to get malchus for it. Okay, but what are you going to do with the word sadcha, which sadcha means a field that is supposed to be yours, that's destined to be yours, which means zafke in Eretz Yisrael, because in Chutzlaretz you might own a field that's not, the Rashi uses the expression, lahitnu l'chom in Hashemayim, the Eretz did not make you acquire it, unlike Eretz Yisrael. So what does the word sadcha mean?
So a field that we possess in Chutzlaretz is not considered acquired.
It's not really considered sadcha in that sense, yeah.
Only in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. So what does the word sadcha mean? Okay, that comes to exclude that you are allowed to do tilayakerem min atorah in chutz la'aretz. Zroyim meaning that you to take vegetables, for example, and plant them in a vineyard, that you would be allowed to do in chutz la'aretz, at least min atorah. Midrabanan, maybe not, but min atorah you'd be allowed to.
Because it's not your...
So in other words, when the Torah says sadcha lo tizra kalayim, it's telling us two different dinim over there. Number one is you're not allowed to graft trees together. And that is also even in Chutz La'aretz, and it's also in a Torah, and you'll get Malchus. And number two, only in Sadcha, only in a field that's destined to be yours, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, only there is it also to make Kelaya Kerem.
Does that include
Avos Noah? Does it include Avos? No, I don't know. Does it include Avos Yadin? It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think in general, most of the mitzvahs of Chutz La'aretz, I think, apply in Avos Yadin, but I don't know. Merkel's case, Rav Chanan and Rav Onan have a shakli ba'azli baruch. One time Rav Chanan and Rav Onan were walking together. Chazru alahu gavra b'kozor zroim b'hadi adoni. They saw a person was planting seeds together. So either he was doing kalai zroim, planting like wheat and barley together, or kalai akerim, as the case may be. Actually, no, this was kalai zroim, as in wheat and barley together, let's say. Amulei, so one said to the
other.
There's many different genes. It's complicated. There's almost that with Kalayim, that's the first couple of parakim of it deal with the details. Actually, we're going to talk about it a little tiny bit on Amud Beis, but this isn't really the place for the details. But anyway. So, Chazu Lao Gabriel Kazor Zroim Bahadi Adori, they saw a person who was planting different kinds of seeds together. So either they were seeds of like grain, like wheat and barley, or seeds of trees. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter. Both of them are also in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei, so one says to the other, Nesi Mar Nisham, say, come, we should put him in Cherem. He's being over on an Issa Dirabana. Amalei, the other one answers, Loi Chavritu. You're not clear in Hilchot Kilayim. Because in fact, such a thing is not also, I mean, it's not also in Chutz La'aretz.
Where was that?
It was in Chutz La'aretz. Rav Chanan and Rav Onan are both Amaroyim from Babel.
Well, they were quick to punish them.
This is a punishment. It's a thing. You're not clear in the halachas.
No.
Oh, about the lazy man. Yeah, okay, fine. V'tu chazu lahu gavra v'kazora chiti v'sairi v'gufni. Then another time they saw a person was planting wheat and barley together among the vineyards. Actually, it wasn't necessarily wheat and barley together, because the Gemara is going to say in a second that is osur, even in Chutz La'aretz, but there are different stories over here that maybe with either chitim or sairim. Yeah, chavetz is the next thing. Yeah, you're right. It's okay. It could be it was chiti v'sairi beigufni in a vineyard, or it could be it was just one of different gersoris over here. It was maybe just one or the other. Anyway, so either the gersa we have is there were wheat and barley. It was planted together in a vineyard. There's another gersa that says on the side over here that the Ramban and the Ritva are not gerus chiti v'sairi, that they just have the gersa zore beigufni. He was planting a seed of grain or vegetables or whatever in a vineyard. Amalei, and again, one says to the other, Nesi Mar Neshamte, we should put him in Cherem, that's also. Amalei says, Sam Loit Saharitu. Again, he says, you're not clear Chavaritu literally means like mechuvarim, like they're not right for you, the halachas. Like they're not there, you don't know them fully. Tzaharitu means you're not clear. And the Hamakna says they're not bright for you, let's say rather. Chavaritu means they're not clear, Tzaharitu means not bright for you. The Hamakna says the difference is because the previous thing is something that everybody agrees with. So Lo Chavaritu, you don't even know the din. He was saying Lo Tzaharitu as if it's in a machlokes. It's not clear. So yes, you do know the basic facts, but you're not aware that there's a machlokes over here, and you're not aware who the halacha is like. Loi kaimalon k'Rav Yoshia, aren't you aware that we hold like Rav Yoshia? To Omar, that he says that the isu min haTorah, when it becomes also b'hana, is only when you get malchus rather, is ad sheyizra chita b'sarda b'charetz b'mapolos yad, is only if you plant together wheat and barley and a grape seed all together all at once. That would be when you get malchus.
Are we talking about getting malchus?
Well, the point of it is that if Rabbi Yoshia is saying that only in that case you get malchus, the point is that anything else it may or may not be also b'hana. The Rambam learns that it is, even if you don't do it all three together. If you have grain next to grapes or whatever, but you have mishnayos, you have mishnayos in Tzalayim that say as much. But the point is, given that you only get malchus, that the full fledged issum in HaTorah is only if you do all three together, then outside Eretz Yisrael, we're outside Eretz Yisrael, if he's only planting one seed, let's say, you know, he's planting one vegetable or whatever in a vineyard, we're not going to put him in cheder for that. We're not going to say that the Rabbanim was so machmer outside Eretz Yisrael. If you have all three of them together, then we'll be machmer outside Eretz Yisrael. This guy wasn't necessarily doing that yet. Because either he was planting chiti the side, either there were grapes already planted, and he's planting wheat and barley together, or maybe he's not even doing that. But whatever it is, it's not all three together. It's not all three being planted at the same time. Okay. Gemara tells Rabbi Yosef ma'arav bizarni bizarah. Rabbi Yosef used to lachatchila mix together different kinds of seeds, and not in a vineyard, and plant them. To plant, for example, wheat and barley mixed. What are you going to do with that Mishnah that kalayim is also in chutzlaris midrabanan? So he answers him like Hasha, kan b'kalaya kerem, kan b'kalaya zroyim. So he says sort of the opposite of what we said before, that no, kalaya kerem will be also outside Eretz Yisrael, midrabanan. Kalaya zroyim will more makel in. We're not really the opposite of what we said before. Before we were talking about how kavas ilan is also in chutz la'aretz and kalaya kerem will be more makel on. Here he's saying kalaya kerem will be machmer, but kalaya zroyim, which is what I'm doing, will definitely be makel. Why? Kalaya kerem b'ba'aretz asurim b'hana, because kalaya kerem, if you do it in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes also b'hana, b'chutz la'aretz nami la'gazirbu. B'chutz la'aretz nami gazirbu. So in chutz la'aretz also, the chachamim are going to be gazir on it, don't do it. Gazirbu rabbanan. Because if it's something that in Eretz Yisrael is so chomer that it's also b'hana, then at least fine, we'll be machmer and say that it's also to do it in chutz la'aretz. Whereas Kalai Zroyim, even in Eretz Yisrael, if you plant wheat and barley together, it doesn't become also b'hana, it's also to do. And you can get malchus for it, but it won't be all the resulting wheat and the resulting barley won't be also b'hana. So therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, the Rabbanan won't have been gozer on them either. So says Rabbi Yosef.
So it's not
also b'hana, but it's also to do in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz, they
don't know it. But how would you eat once harvested, you have no idea when the
That's not the point. I mean, that's not the point whether you'll know or not. I remember once hearing the Lord. Okay, I'll tell him when he gets back. No, the point is, I mean, obviously you won't know if grain is planted next to grapevine either. You won't know once it's harvested, it won't look any different than normal grain, but it'll be also b'hana. But still, since such a thing is also b'hana in Eretz Yisrael, then we'll be machmer in Chutz La'aretz as well. But Kalai Zroyim itself is not also, it is not also b'hana in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore we won't have a problem with it in Chutz La'aretz. Hodo Amar Rav Yosef. Then Rav Yosef thought further about it, and he said, no, lav milti de amri. Actually, what I said is not correct. Actually, maybe Kalai Zroyim are also in Chutz La'aretz. The Rav, Zora Gintz, the Bei Rav, Mishari Mishari, because we find that Rav planted the garden, the vegetable garden, that belonged to the yeshiva, that he had to grow, they had plots of land there to grow vegetables for the Talmudim and the yeshiva to eat, and he made sure to have it planted, Mishari Mishari, in plots by plots, so not all mixed together, but each thing in its own plot. Now, why would he do that? Bepashtus, my time, Allah, Mishram, Eruv, my love, Mishram, Eruv, Eruv, Kilayim. Well, the reason would be because he didn't want there to be over on the Isra of Kilayim. So we see that. Kilayim, Zroyim, the plant, so wheat and barley, or cabbages and turnips, or whatever next to each other would be also. So therefore, he didn't do it. Obviously, Abai says not necessarily. Because Bishlema, Iyash, Mishinon, Arba, Al, Abaruchas, Haruga, Ba'achas, Ba'emsa. Actually, no. If Rav had made sure, for example, that he's planting them in a way, there is a configuration. You were asking a minute ago, how far apart do you need to plant them? The part of the din is, if you have them in a configuration where it's clear that one is distinct from the other one, then even if they touch, it's not really such an issue. If they only touch in corners. So there's a din, there's a Mishnah in Masech the Shabbos that tells us that you're allowed to, in a plot of land 6x6 tefachim, you're allowed to plant 5 different kinds of vegetables in it. Namely, you plant 4 along the 4 edges, you leave the corners empty, so that way they're only touching, that way each, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and each one is only touching another one at a corner, which is fine, because you can see each one is disjoint. And then you have one in the middle, that Imam draws it, that the one in the middle is shaped like a diamond, it's shaped like a lozenge or whatever, so you have, again, it's only touching each of the other one at one corner, so that would be fine. It's fine that they touch each other just at a corner, because you can still see that each of them is distinct from the other, and here's a quick diagram. You have one here, one here, one here, one here, so 1, 2, 3, 4, four different types, and the fifth one is like that. That's the Rambam shita of it. There's a number of other shittas in there showing him how exactly the configuration is, but whatever, each one is only touching the other in one at one spot over there.
Yeah,
that's fine.
One spot here, but they're touching each other here.
That's fine, but I'm saying, but that's not a problem. The problem is number 2 and number 3, for example, only touching each other at one spot. Number 5 is only touching number 2 at one spot and touching number 3 at one spot, etc. So that's fine. So if Rav had planted his vegetable garden that way, Shapur, then yes, you could prove that Kalai Zroyim do apply outside of Israel. However, Rav wants to maximize the space, and therefore he did it that way. Elahacha, but over here, you're telling me he planted each one in its own plot. Not necessarily that because he was concerned about Kalai Zroyim. Mishum, no, he was just doing it either because it looks nicer to have each one in its own plot. He might have done it because for the sake of the shamash, so that he shouldn't have tircha. When Rav wants to tell him, go get us some cabbages, he'll know which plot to go to instead of having to search among all the plots, and similarly with all the other ones. It's not necessarily Abai is saying you could argue that Rav was not trying to say that Kalai Zroyim are also in Chukhar. And halacha is in fact the second. They say a vort on Zoysa Torah Adam Kiyamus Ba'oil, that Eina Torah Miskayim Aselab Mishim Meim Nisat Me'ala. What's the vort? You know the vort. The Pasuk says Zoysa Torah Adam Kiyamus Ba'oil, right? And the Gemara tells us, Eina Torah Miskayim Aselab Mishim Meim Nisat Me'ala. That only a person who kills himself over it. So what does it mean, Meim Nisat Me'ala? I once heard a vort. After 120, a person doesn't answer their phone anymore. While you're learning, should also be, you're not available, like you wouldn't be available after 120.
It depends who's calling.
Fair enough. All right.
If your boss is calling,
you know what? Okay.
It's impossible that you're learning, she wouldn't call.
This is all the truth.
Maybe she didn't realize.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Okay, now that we talked in the last couple of Mishnayos about the various categories of mitzvahs, the ones that are chayiv on women and that are not, mitzvahs of poris ba'aretz and are not. Now we're going to have a Mishnah, which is a little bit of a gadda, about the schar of mitzvahs. Kola oisa mitzvah achas, anybody who does one mitzvah, and what we mean by that we'll talk about in the Gemara, mitivin loy, he's rewarded, which it sounds like it means he's rewarded in this world, but Gemara is going to discuss that at some length. Arichin lo yamav, and his life is extended, his days are extended. Again, that sounds like it means Olam Haza, so we'll talk about. V'noi chalos ha'aretz, and he inherits the land, meaning Olam Haba. Al derech, like we say, v'am ha'kulim tzadikim, lo Olam Yushu aretz, that aretz over there means Gan Eden. It may also, but primarily Rashi says it means Olam Haba, somebody who does not do one mitzvah, again, what that means the Gemara is going to talk about, ein mitzivin loy, ve'ein ma'arichin loy, ve'ein ha'neichol ha'aretz. The Gemara starts off. Okay. Now, I have a contradiction. What are you telling me in the Mishnah that What are you telling me in the Mishnah? That if a person does one mitzvah, meaning any one of the 613 mitzvahs, then he gets a schar in this world. Again, mitzivim loy marich and yamav sounds like it means in this world. We're a mini. I have a contradiction. What we say every day. Eilu, it's the first Mishnah in Peah. Eilu dvarim sha'odam eichel peresein b'aylam hazeh. These are the following of mitzvahs that a person eats the fruit, meaning the dividends in this world. Va'keren kayemes lo eilam haba. And the main reward is left for eilam haba. The Elohim, they are as follows: Kibud Avraham, Ugmilus Chasadim, Vachnosas Archim, Vavat Shalom Benon Mochaveroi. But Talmud Torah, Connected Kulam, and Talmud Torah is included, Talmud Torah is equivalent to all of the above. One reason being, the Rambam says, because we're going to.
Equivalent of each one of the
meaning it's the equivalent of all of them. It's the equivalent of all of them put together. And the Rambam says the logical reason why it's equivalent to all of them put together is we're going to learn tomorrow. Godel Talmud, which may be the day nice. Learning Torah is a great thing because you have to learn in order to know what to do. So in order to be able to do these mitzvahs, you have to learn. You have to learn
in order what to do. But yeah. When you learn, does that bring you to do?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Talmud Gadol from maybe the Gemaisa versus Gadol Talmud by itself. We'll get to that tomorrow, Bezal Shem, and tomorrow and the next day. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so only those mitzvahs do you get a schar in this world, not the rest of them. Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kama. So Rav Yehuda comes to them. Rav Yehuda says, the Mishnah means as follows. The Mishnah does not mean to say any one mitzvah. Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas yisera al zechuyosav. If somebody does one more mitzvah beyond his schusim, which means, in other words, so he has, let's say, exactly half mitzvahs and half averus. Actually, there's a different mepharshim over here, whether it means that he has half mitzvahs and half averus, and the one brings him that now he has more mitzvahs than averus, or maybe it even means that right now he has one less mitzvah than averus, and now he'll do one more and he'll be exactly balanced. Different mepharshim on it. Anyway. If he does one more mitzvah beyond the chosim that he currently has, mitzvim loy, then he will be rewarded. The doma k'mishatim kol ha'torah kola, and he will be considered when it comes to the Eidusha judging him as if he kept the whole Torah.
Doesn't it matter which mitzvah is what?
No, that's what we're saying.
Worth more than others.
No, but that's what we're saying. Right now, what we're saying is no. As long as a person, let's go with the first explanation. A person is the famous Gemara that we're going to learn tomorrow. That Rambam mentions, and the Rebbe used to quote all the time. That the if you do one mitzvah, your machriya kula that kol olam utafsus. So that's basically what we're saying over here, then, that you had exactly half mitzvahs and half averus, which, by the way, half mitzvahs and half averus doesn't necessarily mean as far as the actual number of mitzvahs you did. Rambam writes, the actual calculation, how much each mitzvah counts for, that's the Eivishter. Yeah, so it's not necessarily that you count up.
It's what each one is worth,
yeah.
We don't know what they're worth.
So a person did one extra mitzvah beyond that, then he'll be rewarded. He'll be treated when it comes to the Eivishter's din, as if he did the whole Torah. Meaning, in other words, he'll be judged. He'll be judged like a tzaddik, not like a tzaddik who kept the whole Torah, of course, because he still has half of Averus. But in other words, in the sense that, as the Gemara is going to say later, he'll be punished for his Averus in Olam Hazeh, so that he can have Olam Haba, as opposed to if he was judged by Ezra Rasha, where it would be the other way around.
But if that's the case, why do we say that the Jewish people keep one Shabbos enough to bring Mashiach? Any mitzvah would do that.
That's if the whole Jewish people are chetzi chayev and chetzi zakai. We're saying that Shabbos has a power beyond a regular mitzvah for that. And not all, no. We said, but for the purposes that we're talking about over here, for the purposes of individual chayev and Hashem. There's one Gemara. The Gemara says two Shabbos, and there's a Medrash that says one Shabbos. Yeah, or maybe it's the other way around. Whatever. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Mikhlal b'hanach afilu b'chodanami." So what do you mean? So does that apply? So are you saying then even if a person didn't keep other mitzvahs, what about the roiv avoinus? What about the majority of avedas that he has? Amar Rav Shmaya loy mashim ha'isa shkula machras. Right, but what we mean is that when the Mishnah of Eilu Dvarim means that within that, if you have, there's some things that the person has exactly half and half. Then one of those ones, specially, will tip the scale. So in other words, that's the point. Rashi's saying if a person is half mitzvah, exactly half and half, but one of the ones in the half mitzvahs is the one from the Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim, Achnas Sarachim, or Avar Shalom, etc., then it tips the scale. And then it's considered as if you have more zchuyos. That's what the Rambam is saying, that the count of mitzvahs and averus is known only to the Eivishter. Each of these mitzvahs in Eilu Dvarim has extra power, extra weight. As opposed to a regular mitzvah, you need to have more mitzvahs than averus in order to be judged as a tzaddik. The Gemara says, So now the Mishnah said, "B'chol oitzim mitzvah achas yisera al for Yosef v'kivin loy." So what do you mean? You're explaining the Mishnah now to say that if a person has one more mitzvah more than his previous chosim, so in other words, now he has one more to tip him to the side of good, v'kivin loy, then you're saying he's rewarded in this world, which sounds like it means he's rewarded for his mitzvahs in this world, and then he won't get his olam haba because he's been rewarded for them in this world. Rabbeinu, I have a contradiction. Braisa says exactly the opposite. Kol shas chuyosim merubin me'avinoi. So if somebody who is chosim are more than his averus, miriam loy, he will be treated badly in this world in order to punish him for the averus that he did. That way he'll have Gan Eden. That way he'll have a complete Gan Eden. He'll get his punishment for his averus in this world. And yeah. The Doma Kamisha sort of Kola Torah Kola, he will be treated in this world as if he broke the whole Torah, but Shimon Ben Akiva Isachas, and he didn't even leave over one letter of it. That's how harshly he'll be treated to take care of his Averus. The Chosha Abin Noisim, Merubin Mischu Yosef, and somebody who's Averus are more than his Chosim, Mitivin Loi, on the contrary, he'll be treated well in this world in order to reward him for his mitzvah, so then he'll go to the other place. Right. He'll be treated the equivalent of somebody who kept the whole Torah. Well, he didn't even leave out one letter of it. What? We're not really talking about them right now. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's exactly the opposite of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying the Tivin Loi, which we assume means he's rewarded in this world. Adarabba, if a person has one more mitzvah than Averus, he's treated harshly in this world to punish for the Averus, so that he has Gan Eden. Amar Abaya, Masnissin, the Avin Loi, Yoim Tav, Yoim Bish. You're right. In our Mishnah, when it says he's treated well, Mativin, or Marian, he's treated badly, it means that he's given a good day or bad day. Which means, Rashi says, if he has the one extra mitzvah, then he had the Yom Tov is being prepared for him in this world. Namely, how he's being treated badly in this world, in order that he'll have a Yom Tov L'Olam Haba. The Yom Tov is being prepared for him in advance. The Avin Lo Yom Tov, they're preparing for him in the future a Yom Tov by having him treated harshly in this world. And the other way around, if he has mostly averus, then Mirian Loi means, in other words, not right now in this world he'll be treated badly. Adarabba, in this world he'll be treated well, in order that the Yom Bish, the bad day, is being prepared for him loss of love.
Is that the meaning of annual Ram Lila?
Well, yeah, we're saying when Raya and Milamayla, it means when bad comes on a person in this world, yeah, it's for a good purpose in order to clean up his Averus, yeah. Yeah.
So what do we use Lashon
Marim then? Because from our perspective, it's Marian. Gehenna after all is also not. Ultimately, it's for a positive purpose in order to clean him up, you know, but still, in terms of Skyva Einesh, yeah. Anyway, Tosfos explains differently. The Yom Tav and the Yom Bish are actually in this world, meaning not like Rashi is saying Yom Tav, they're preparing him a Yom Tov, La'olam Haba, and Yom Bish, they're preparing him a Yom Bish, a bad day, La'olam Haba. No, Tosfos says, the Tam says in Tosfos that it means that you have, for example, that a person will have an individual Yom Tov, let's say, for example, a Rosh who has mostly Averus, but he'll have a hard life. Sometimes, however, he'll have one particular Yom Tov, one particular good day, and that will take care of to reward him for a bunch of the mitzvahs that he did. And similar, and then the opposite with the tzaddik. Okay, that's Abaya.
And the same thing the other way
around. Rava Amar, Rava says a completely different answer. No, you're assuming that the Mishnah is, you're still assuming that in the Mishnah, Mativin Loi, Marian Loi basically means some kind of reward or some kind of onish in this world. No, Rava Amar, Homani Rav Yaakov, our Mishnah that talks about Mativin and Marian is going according to Rav Yaakov. Rama Schar Mitzvah, the High Amar Lekha. Rav Yaakov says there is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. And therefore it has to be lost in love. Therefore they both have to be lost in love. Again, except for the ones that all the Mochel Peres and Radam Hazel. The Tanya, as we learn in the Brayta, Rabbi Yaakov, Ein Machok HaMitzvah Mitzvah Shekesuv BaTorah Shematan Tzchor BeTzidah Shein Tchias HaMeitzim Tzloi Ba. There's not a single mitzvah in the Torah where there's a reward set along with the mitzvah that actually Tchias HaMeitzim doesn't depend on it. Meaning that the real schar is not what it says in the Torah over there. It's rather the schar actually refers to the time of Tchias HaMeitzim, not in this world. Namely, for example, by kibud av v'aim, there's a reward stated right there. The Torah says you do kibud av v'aim, you'll live long and you'll have a good life. Similarly, by the mitzvah of shaluach hakan, it says that you should do it in order that it'll be good for you and you'll have a long life. Now, consider the following scenario, Rabbi Yaakov says. Haresha amalei over about leila bira. Imagine a person, his father tells him, go up onto the roof, go up onto the top of bira, literally means like a castle, and bring me some young birds. So he goes up to the roof. So he's doing kibud av v'aim, going up there. He goes up there. He does shiluach hakan. He sends the mother bird away and takes the babies. And then on the way back down, he falls down and dies. He falls off a ladder or whatever and dies. Look, he just did two mitzvahs. He's supposed to get a long life in this world. Where's his good life? Where's his long life? Ella, so you have to say that it means Laman Yitavlach means La'olam Shekulei Tov, that the word Laman Yitavlach means that you should have it good in the world, which is all good, in Olam Haba. Or Laman Yaruchan Yamecha means La'olam Shekulei Aruch, means in the world where life is long, is eternal. So not in this world.
One of the things that got Acher upset about.
That's what the Gemara is going to say in a little bit. We won't get to it tonight at this rate, but we'll talk about it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say it too. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Yaakov is giving us a possible scenario. Who says it ever actually happened? The answer is Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov actually saw such a thing happen. So there you have, he actually saw in real life, somebody did these two mitzvahs, and yeah, he died. Therefore, that forces him to conclude Tzchai Mitzvah Hayam Alek.
Something like that happened. Yes.
That there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. That's what Rabbi Yaakov is saying. There's not. Rabbi Yaakov is saying all the times when the Torah mentions a reward for a mitzvah, it's not in this world. It's loss of love. That's what Rabbi Yaakov is saying. Is he correct? I mean, none of us know how the Eibishter judges, but that's according to that shit.
Okay.
No, you know what? It's a long conversation. We could have another time. It's complicated. One thing is, I'll tell you briefly that Rambam writes about it. What about all the places in the brachas of klolos where it always says if you keep the mitzvahs, you'll have prosperity, you'll have peace, this, that, the other. But Rambam says the gist of it is those aren't the actual rewards for the mitzvah. Those are making it possible to continue learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. If you try to learn Torah and you try to learn mitzvahs, and you try as best you can, the Eibishter gives you the conditions of peace and prosperity and whatever in order that you should be able to do more. Whereas if a person doesn't, then the opposite, then. Then I'm right. Continues the Gemara, but Duma Maharaba Verahava. How about in this case, okay, you're saying Rabbi Yaakov saw such a thing happen. Okay, maybe say the guy was thinking about an Avera, and therefore he wasn't protected by the mitzvah. The answer is Machshava Ra, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mitzar for the Maisa. The Eibishter does not combine the bad thought with a bad Maisa. In other words, the Eibishter doesn't hold a bad thought against the person. To punish him. The question is this boy who was going up to get the birds and then do kibud av v'aim and do a shiluach hakan, maybe during that time he was thinking of doing an avera, and therefore the mitzvah didn't protect him. The answer is the Eibishter doesn't punish a person for thoughts of avera. That's what he's saying. Tosfos says actually that with goyim it's the other way around. Goyim, the Tosfos says the Eibishter does hold their machshava even against them. For example, Tosfos brings the evil intent, for example, that Esav had to kill Yaakov is considered as if he actually did it. With Jews, it's the other way around. The machshava ra is not considered. Machshava tova is considered.
Esav was a wicked Jew.
Yeah, but for our purposes, we're considering him a goy. The Gemara asks, fine, maybe he wasn't just thinking about a run of the mill of Avera. Maybe he was thinking about a Vedazora, Uchtiv, and we know a pasuk that is an exception, that kind of machshava that Eibishter does punish a person for, because the pasuk that says, Laman tfois es beis Yisroel b'libam, that because the Jewish people are grabbing a hold of thoughts of a Vedazora in their hearts, and the Eibishter is going to hold that against them. So maybe this guy was thinking of Avodah Zarah while he's doing these two mitzvahs, and therefore the
mitzvah. Mean
choice means to grab a hold of. Like they're chutzpah right. Belivim here, who Avodah Kochavim. Rashi says that they grabbed in their hearts. The context over there is that Kedim, or the Jewish people, came to talk to Yechezkel to ask for Nevuah from him, and the Ebeshit comes to Yechezkel and tells them, don't think these guys are what they seem. They have thoughts of Avodah Zarah in their mind. And the Ebeshit says, I hold it. That's what we're saying, this is an exception. Listen, this is an exception. The answer is Ihunami Hochakama. Actually, that's exactly what Rabbi Yaakov is arguing. If you're going to say the Ebeshit gives you a reward for mitzvahs in this world, then the zchus itself of the mitzvah should help that he does not have such a hero of Avodah Zarah. So if the mitzvah does not even protect him from getting into thoughts of Avodah Zarah, which then he can be punished for, then obviously in schar mitzvah, I am alaka, there's not a schar for mitzvah. Not only there's not a schar in actual gashmius, but there's not even a schar in being protected from thoughts of Avodah that can lead a person to being punished. That's exactly Rabbi Yaakov's point. And we'll continue the discussion. No,
It would be very easy.
We're not saying the Ebeshter would take away your bechira altogether. We're arguing the Ebeshter, at least at the moment that you're the few minutes that you're doing the mitzvah, can help you, that can give you a siyata b'shmaya that you won't have thought of Avodah Zarah during that time. But Rabbi Yaakov was saying, even that kind of schar you don't have yet.